at the Bible, and in the days of Ezekiel the prophet, Almighty God spoke to the preacher about the sorry state of the house of the nation of Israel. And God told them in Ezekiel's day, he said, because your metal is so filled with the dross of sin, moral corruption, and decay, he said, I'm going to gather all the people of God in Israel together in Jerusalem. And there I'm going to pour fire upon them and melt them down with the fire of divine judgment. And then after revealing all of their terrible wickedness, God said the following words to Ezekiel. And I want you to listen, because this is my text for tonight. Ezekiel 22 and verse number 30 is my text. And it says there, and I'll read it. And I sought for a man among them that would stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Ezekiel 22:30. I want to say tonight, because the Lord found no such man among his people in that day, he told the prophet that he would now proceed, listen, to burn the nation with the fire of his wrath, and he did do that. By the way, God is the same God. He has not changed, and I believe that just as God was looking for a man in Ezekiel's day to stand in the gap and make up the hedge for protection for the land of Israel, I believe God is looking for such men today around this nation to stand in the gap for America, to protect America from being totally overrun by corruption and evildoers, and therefore suffering the burning judgment of Almighty God. I want to say to you tonight, it's urgent. God is looking for such a man for Scranton and northeastern Pennsylvania. And so I want to preach to you tonight on the message, Stand in the Gap. Stand in the gap. And number one, the plea for it as in the days of Gideon. I want to think about Gideon. And in Gideon's day, his land was in captivity to the Midianites. The Midianites were ungodly people. They were idol worshipers. They hated the God of Israel. And just like people today that hate America, that hate the Bible, that hate the gospel, these people hated God's word. And they were taking the people of God captive. And here's what the Bible says in Judges chapter 6. It says, and so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the children of the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth and left no sustenance for Israel. And they came as grasshoppers for multitude. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Judges 3, verses 3 through 6. I want to say the Midianites stole the increase from the land of Israel. And you know what? That's exactly what's happening in America today. There are these globalist, socialist people that have stolen, first of all, the lives of our loved ones through their bioweapons that have been launched upon us by men like Bill Gates and his foundation and Anthony Fauci and others. They have launched bioweapons upon us called COVID, and they are preparing other bioweapons. It's documented, and it reminds me of exactly what was happening in Israel as these ungodly people came in like grasshoppers. And they've stolen the lives of our loved ones. They've stolen the value of our money. They just print more and more money. I just heard of another bank that's failing, and they want to print unlimited supply of money to make sure that bank doesn't fail. And then they leave the open border, and there's no legal protection for what is America. And anybody that comes in, and we just print more money. And what does that do? That takes away from the value of the money that you may work for, that you may earn. And by the way, that is still God's way. Get a job.
That's right.
That's still God's way. If any man shall not work, neither shall he what? Eat. But there is this new socialist mentality from all according to their need, from all according to their ability, to all according to their need. That is Marxism. That is socialism. And that is not what the Word of God teaches, my friends. And so the globalists have stolen our money. They've stolen our elections. And they've stolen the lives of our loved ones. There used to be a time when you had faith in America that, hey, the voting is who you vote for is who gets in. And then a guy that never left his basement got 80 million votes, the most in history, quote unquote, supposedly. And if the other guy would have got 90 million, he would have had 95 million. If the other guy would have had 120 million, he would have 124 million, or whatever it takes. But why? Because Joe Stalin said, I don't care who you vote for, it's who count the votes that count. And it's been proven, though they deny it, that there are clearly abilities to hack these Dominion machines. They can hack them. They have internet access, and also they're stuffing ballot boxes. 2,000 mules made that very clear, and they are stealing elections. And so it reminds me of Gideon's day. They have stolen all of these things. They've come in like a flood. And then the January 6th protesters that went to Washington and protested the stealing, and peacefully protested the stealing. I said peacefully protested the stealing, and were singing patriotic songs, and wanted it just investigated before Congress voted to certify a corrupt election. And even that was turned around by these wicked people like AOC and these wicked socialist communist type people. And they turned it around. And right now the Proud Boys are on trial. Right now people are on trial. Some people haven't even got a trial yet. They've been held since January 6, 2021. Without habeas corpus, which is a constitutional right to a speedy trial. They're not being given it. There's a captivity in America that's like nothing I have ever seen. And I think about a lady, a veteran, I believe of the Air Force, and went into that Capitol, and it was showing her in line going into that Capitol. It was showing the police allowing these people to go in, and even walking away when they were going into another room where they maybe shouldn't have gone. But they were going into that room, and she had no arm at all. She was not armed. She was a military veteran. Her name is Ashley Babbitt, and she was shot dead. Shot dead. And the man who did it, he is lauded and given an award. He ought to be held up, like Donald Trump said, for big trouble. Big trouble for what he did. And if that would have been a certain people, a born-again Christian, you know, that did it and did it to them, boy, there'd be no end of it. You would hear no end of it. And what I'm saying to you is that just like in the days of Gideon, the Moabites have come into our land, and we are going through a time. We have a time like grasshoppers when the ungodly are coming into our schools. Transgender people are given free access to our nation's children. And men dress like women, and women dress like men, going to our children saying, to a little boy, you feel like a girl. To a little girl, you feel like a boy. And worse yet, they are being mutilated then and lauded for mutilating them. No man can create a gender. God creates, male and female. And that is what God says. But I'm saying that our land is being overrun by the Midianites, and there's a plea for a man to stand in the gap, and that was true in Gideon's day. And so Gideon's land was in captivity, but listen, it was due to the sin of God's professing people. Can I say that tonight? It was due to the sin of God's professing people that this happened. And that's in Judges chapter 6 as well. Here's what it says in verse 1 of Judges 6. It says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years." You see, that's what happened. It was God's professing people that left God. They turned away. God's a jealous God. You don't two-time God and get away with it. You don't have God over here and some ungodly idol over here. Some rock star over here you worship and God over here. No, some movie star over here you worship and God over here. No, no, God is God alone. And so God's people turned away from God, and God gave up their land to captivity. And the Bible said if the salt loses its savor, it's good for nothing. And the salt of professing Christianity in America has lost its savor. And so God says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" You see, you say, what's going on in our country? Why did this happen after we thought things were going to be turned around in 2016 and it looked good? What happened? Why did it get stolen in 2020? Why is all this happening? Because God is not finished with judging the houses of God in our country. There needs to be a spiritual revival in the houses of God. I'm talking about the churches of America. That is what is needed. And I speak of this with some authority because I am a pastor of a Baptist church. I'm in my 45th year of pastoring Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And I remember a day when judgment had to begin in the house of God, because we were using a modern translation from the Bible, and God had to take us to the woodshed for some bloodshed and say, "You get back to my authorized King James Bible." He's exalted his word above his name, and God got my attention, I want you to know, and judgment began at the house of God. And we had deacons in the church drinking alcohol, social drinking, going to dances, and God had to cleanse that out, didn't he now, Brother Joe? And were you a deacon back then in 84? No, Brother Joe wasn't even a deacon back then. But he saw it all happening. And he saw the shootout, amen. And I'm saying there needs to be a backdoor revival in churches. I'm talking about many churches in America. A lot of churches, their doors need to close. They've made a covenant with Baal, and they're accepting 501c3 money. They're corporations instead of churches, and they're beholden to their head, which is a legal corporation headship, not Jesus Christ, and God will not tolerate that. There needs to be a change in churches, and there needs to be new churches planted, amen, with the old-time religion, the old-time Bible, and we need to get back, because I'll tell you what, God requires the past. God is not changed. He said, "I'm the Lord, I change not." And so don't be afraid to stand on the old-time religion.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of the old-time preaching.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of the old-time confrontational evangelism and soul winning. That's what we need to get back to. Amen?
Amen.
And I got right with God in 1984, and I don't intend to get wrong with God on these things. I'm going to stay with it. And I'm saying to you, we need to stand in the gap, and there is a plea for it, as in the days of Gideon's. And Gideon's land needed a spiritual revival, as I just said, beginning with God's people. And what happened when they saw the Midianites overrunning them? They did what you and I should do. You and I should be doing this. The Bible says it, that the people cried to the Lord. They began to cry to the Lord. And we've been praying, Lord God, get rid of this Biden. He's an imposter. He's not the real president. I'm not afraid to say it. I don't believe he's the real president. And not that many people voted for that guy. And he's not the real president. And get rid of him. But God hadn't done it yet. It hadn't happened yet. And you say, you know, what's wrong? Well, God wants us to cry to the Lord. But wait a minute. When you cry to the Lord, God says, you're crying to me, but I'm going to send you some preaching. And so God sent the people a prophet. And the prophet of God said, hey, I redeemed you out of Egypt. I was your God. You worshiped me, but you've turned away from me. And you've gone your own way. And so he said, I am going to send a prophet to you. And he sent the prophet, and the prophet told him these things and said, you've turned away from me. You need to turn back to God. And you know what? If a man of God's going to stand in the gap, he has to preach the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
Win souls to Jesus Christ. I am tired of people that all they can do is steal somebody else's sheep. How about lead somebody to the Lord if you're the real deal? How about baptizing new converts? How about building churches? And that's what I believe that God wants us to do. I want to see us fill our Jerusalem with the gospel of Jesus Christ, get people saved. And once you get saved, by the way, you shouldn't be afraid to come forward and get baptized. Baptism is like wearing the uniform, saying, I'm on God's team. And once you do that, you shouldn't be afraid to join the army of God, the local New Testament church. Stand up and be counted. You need to do that. And that's what I do. And I believe we should fill this place and overflow, and then plant another church in our Judea, somewhere in Pennsylvania, down toward Philly, and then plant other churches. And that's my vision. That's my vision. And I believe that's how we take America back. Amen? That's the best way to take America back. And there's the plea for that in our day as it was in Gideon's day. And let me just say this. In the 19th century, 1800s, a man by the name of Alexis de Tocqueville came here from Europe. And he came and he wanted to find out what made America special. Why is America? And by the way, I do believe in American exceptionalism. It's a special country with a special constitution and a special blessing. And if you don't see that, you need to understand it. And people say, well, why do you preach about these things, Pastor? Why don't you just stick with the Bible? Because the Bible, when somebody gets saved, they need to know how to vote. When somebody gets saved, they need to know what to stand for. And they need to know about America, or they're just going to give it up. And that's stupid. You don't give something up that you should retain. And so what I'm saying is, de Tocqueville, he went around America and he said, I've got to find out what makes America different. He went to Washington, D.C. He couldn't figure it out there. He went to all these different places. He couldn't figure it out there. He went to the business leaders. He still couldn't figure out what makes America different than Europe. Finally, he went to the churches. And when he saw the churches, and he saw men of God preaching the Word of God, and he saw people saved and praising God and saying amen and living for God, he said, now I understand it. It's the churches. But you see, it's not that way right now. There are so many churches that have left God.
Right.
They're Laodicean. Jesus said, I'll spill you out of my mouth because you're just lukewarm. God doesn't want lukewarm Christianity. He doesn't want it in your life. If any man has an ear, the Bible said, let him hear what the Spirit of God says to the churches. You may be in an independent, fundamental, temperamental, soul-winning church, but you can be Laodicean in your heart. And God says, wake up and repent and get hot for God and stand in the gap. And there is a plea for that and a plea for old-time preaching of the Word of God. Not only that, stand in the gap. There is a provision for it in the call of the man of God. And we see that with Gideon. Now, the Bible says that God wanted to remedy the problem. They were praying. He sent the prophet, but they needed a man of God. And God decided to call Gideon. And so he spoke, and that's in Judges chapter 6. I want you to see verses 12 and 13. Judges 6, I'll read it. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, Gideon, and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And verse 13, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now, so what was Gideon saying? He's saying, you know, you say, I'm with you, almighty man of valor, but if the Lord be with us, where are the miracles? If the Lord be with us, then why has all this happened to us? Now, Gideon made an error there. In verse 13, you get Gideon's words. In verse 12, you get God's word. Can one of the men tell me what Gideon got wrong there when God spoke to him about meeting the need? And any of the men know that? I have one of the men help me to preach it if they know it. Any of the men know it? Brother Kyle, go ahead, yell it out.
God said that he was with him, and he
Hey, that's it. God said, I'm with you. And Gideon said, if you're with us, then where be all the miracles? God didn't say, I'm with the people. The people are messed up. They need you, Gideon. They need a leader. And they need you. And I'll be with you. And Gideon doubted his own call. By the way, that's why Gideon had to put the fleece out. He doubted it. Then he put it out again. He doubted it. Then he had to have a dream. He doubted it. And finally, he was convinced, okay, God is with me. God is the real deal, and I am the real deal. And he became Jerubbaal. That meant that he did it at night because he was afraid to do it in the day. But he knocked down an image of Baal, and the people wanted to get him. By the way, if you knock down the idols of today, people will come against you. They do not like it. I've had so many people try to tell me, don't preach like this. Well, I tell them, this is my pulpit and my platform, and I'm going to preach what God shows me on my platform. I'm not changing my preaching. Get a hold of it, friends. And so, but I will look for change in the hearts and lives of people through the preaching of the Word of God. Amen? That's why it is a platform. The Word of God is above you. And the Word of God is to be preached to you. And God says, nobody's too big for this altar. Right. Nobody's too big to get right with God. And so that's what we need today in America. And so God raised up this man, and he gave a provision for the call of a man of God. And I believe God has his Gideons in every area. I'm talking about the preachers of local independent fundamental Baptist churches. And everybody's supposed to be clicking around the man of God in that church to fulfill the Great Commission. Amen. And people that do that are wise, and that's what is needed in America. And God needed to get a hold of Gideon. And then, you know, when Gideon, you know, some people say, well, it's not a man, it's all the Lord. But wait a minute. The Bible said when God went to war with Midian, he called his weapon in going to war with Midian, he said, the sword of the Lord and of what? Gideon. God does make a lot of a man.
That's right.
And God wants us to work with men. I heard somebody say, you use men as illustrations in your preaching. I use Dr. Ware's name. You have no business doing that. Let me tell you, that is a bunch of balderdash. God uses men even after they're dead. The memory of the just is blessed. Read it in Proverbs. God says, by the way, people that are dead are not dead if they're in the Lord. They're still alive. And God blesses their life. He blesses their testimony. And so if I want to talk about men of God that have been good men of God, have been heroes, I'm going to do it. I'm talking about Gideon tonight. You could say he's dead, but no, he's alive. Amen. Gideon's in heaven tonight. He's a real person tonight. But God's looking for some Gideons today. That'll be preachers that would lead churches and lead them to do the right thing. And I intend by the grace of God to train Gideons. And I believe God will provide those Gideons from our young people that are Ben's age and Robbie's age, and from our older people that are men of God in this church. I believe God is going to raise them up, and that's what we need for America, for men that will stand in the gap, preach the old time Bible, stand for God. And while I'm at it, God doesn't call women to preach. And he doesn't call transsexuals to participate in women's sports, by the way, where they're hairy legs and they... I heard a guy say, he said, he took the shot putting woman champion of the world, the woman that was the champion of shot putting, and he was some guy never threw a shot put. And he said, why don't I throw against you? And he beat her. He beat her. It's so stupid. I'm just saying, when you get away from God, you're a fool.
Right.
And you do stupid things.
That's right.
And we need to get back to God. We need to get back to the ABCs. And so we need standing in the gap, folks. And we need the plea for it. And we need the provision for it. And then finally, tonight, we need the partnering with it, as in Gideon's band. And I want to look at Judges chapter 7 in closing tonight. Go to Judges chapter 7, the partnering with the man of God to stand in the gap. Would you partner with it? You say, how do I partner? Yeah, you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You get saved. You need to get saved. I don't care how good you are. One sin is enough to keep you out of heaven. And you need to accept the perfect Savior who never sinned one time, who died for the sins of anybody and everybody, who will put all their eggs in his basket and trust him alone as Savior. But if you don't do that, my friend, you'll split hell wide open just as sure as I'm standing here. God is no respecter of person. If you don't show him Jesus and the blood of Jesus for your sins, you will go to hell. You will burn. And so turn to Jesus or burn tonight and get saved. And then once you get saved, come and get baptized. We got the water heated up. Brother Steve checked it. It's ready to go. And join with the local church. Don't be afraid. What are you talking about, Pat? I'm talking about partnering with the preachers. I'm talking about partnering for the Great Commission, like with Gideon's band. And you say, well, how can we do that? All right, there's three things I want to say from Judges 7 in closing, how you can do that. Look at verse 2 of Judges chapter 7. Gideon blew a trumpet, and all these people came to him. But God said in verse 2, I can't use all these people. Now look at verse 2. He said, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Now I want to talk about disqualification for partnering with the man of God to stand in the gap. You know what will disqualify you? Pride. Pride goeth before a fall. He said, lest Israel vaunt themselves. That means Israel is too prideful to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. I have seen men disqualified from church. I have seen men disqualified, and not that they're not saved men. I'm talking about saved men. But they will not humble themselves and get in the yoke of Christ with other Christians under the man of God to do the work of God because they're too big for that. That's pride. That's pride. God does not accept pride. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to be teachable and to get into the yoke of Christ. And if we can't do that, my friends, in the local church, God will pass us by and he'll work with somebody that will do that. He said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Some people are too proud to take a rebuke from somebody that gives them the word of God, and they can't take it. And some people are too proud to give up their own preferences to work with the leadership in the local church, and they got to go somewhere where they can be bigger. Let me tell you, you'll never be bigger than you submit to God right where you are and do what God wants you to do. And I believe there's a lot of turkey prideful people in this country, and they're not being used by God as they could be used by God if they would just take a match and burn up their selfish ambitions and get a vision for what is needed in America. We need partners who will stand with men of God and stand in the gap, you see, to serve Almighty God. I appreciate Deacon Jesse Kresge. When he was a kid, he came from public school, and the public school had failed in many cases in students, and he had to humble himself and get in Mrs. Bajeski's class to learn some things in the smaller grades in order to really learn, and he was willing to do it. And you know what? I've seen that in Deacon Jesse through the years. That's why he's a deacon. That's why he's where he is as a young man. Because, see, God doesn't take pleasure in the legs of a man. If you think he does, I'll pull my hairy leg. No, I won't. God doesn't take pleasure in the legs of a man. God's not looking for your strength. God's not looking for your great intellect. God is looking for your submission and your humility. And so that's number one. If we're going to partner with and be part of Gideon's band, don't depart because of prideful. Don't depart with the prideful crowd. Amen. And number two, don't depart with the cowardly crowd. Look at verse 3 of Gideon chapter 7 again, and I'll read it. You follow. Here's what it says. It says, now therefore, go to, proclaim in the ears of the people. This is God speaking, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 20 and 2,000, and there remained 10,000. You know what? There are people that are afraid to go to battle with the enemy. They're not valiant for the truth. They're cowardly. They're afraid. And God says, listen, if you're afraid, you need to trust me. If you're afraid, you need to trust my word. You know, the Israelites didn't go in and take the promised land because they said they're giants in the land. And Caleb and Joshua said, but God makes those giants look like grasshoppers. You need to realize how big is your God. And you need to step out in faith and trust your God. But there are people, listen to me, they are cowardly and afraid, and they're afraid to be in an independent fundamental Baptist church because people are going to look down on them. And they're afraid of pointed preaching of the Word of God. You know, some people are afraid. They say, well, pastor can preach on these things, but he can't get specific about certain sins. If he gets specific, it's too much for me. Well, that's what they said to a great preacher when he went back to his alma mater, and he was they were going to have a whole day to honor him and use his example. And he said, what's the catch to the college president? Because the college president was a cowardly compromiser. By the way, people that compromise, they're cowardly. They're cowardly. They're cowards. And he was cowardly, and he said, well, he said to the great preacher, he said, you can come and preach on sin, but don't name the sin. Don't get so specific about sin like you do when you preach. And people say to me, well, pastor shouldn't get so specific when he's talking about sin. He shouldn't name certain individuals. He shouldn't come right out and say, well, you read your Bible, Paul named Hymenaeus and Alexander the coppersmith and Demas. And he named people, my friends. And I'm saying, if you are too cowardly, then don't go into the ministry, because we need people that are valiant for the truth. We need people that aren't afraid, my friend. And you can say what you want about Donald Trump. He is, I believe, the duly elected president. I'm not afraid to say it. And those people that come again, I believe they're against God's anointed. He's not a Sunday school teacher. He's not a perfect man. But listen, he's where he should be. He's where he should be. And the church of God needs to be where we need to be, doing what we need to be doing. He's not one of us necessarily, but he is doing what he's supposed to be doing. You say, what's he supposed to be doing? Breaking things, smashing things, and bringing out the truth about what is going on and not being afraid. And these lily-livered preachers that are afraid to say that, I call them just what they are, lily-livered preachers with lace on their underwear. And I'm just saying to you tonight that we need to be, listen to me, we need to be valiant for the truth. And God is looking for humble people that are not cowardly, that will partner with him. Now, did I say I'm saying God is a Republican or God is this? Or no, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying God raises up people. He raised up Cyrus. He wasn't even saved. And he used him to bring God's people back to the land. And if you got a noodle on your head and you got some discernment, you'll be able to understand those things. Yep. You say, well, pastor, I don't have that discernment. Well, you stick around. You'll get it. I got it. And I'm going to say it. And so I'm just saying, stand in the gap. There's a plea for it, like in the days of Gideon. There's God's provision for it in the call of men of God like Gideon. And there's partnering with it. But you got to get rid of the pride. Got to get rid of the cowardice. And one more thing. You need to get rid of this. Look at verse 5 of chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 5. And let's look at verse 6 and 7. It says, so Gideon, he brought down the people under the water. Now keep in mind, he'd had thousands of people. Now it's being whittled down. And he brought the people that are left, it says, down to the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. Look at verse 7. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man to his own place. Now, what am I talking about here? I'm talking about the 300 did this. When they drank the water, the other ones that were left after the prideful and cowardly were removed, they did this. You see, this bowing down like I just did and lapping up the water is the carnal crowd. And we got a lot of carnal Christianity going.
That's right.
That people put their comforts above God. That people put their video games above God. That people put their cell phones above God. And their social media and their carnal friends above God. And their commitments to God. And they don't put the Lord first. And they don't pay the price, my friends, to serve God. There is a price to be paid. There is self-denial. And we need to practice that in serving the Lord. But what a blessing it is to get into the yoke of Christ and to serve God and to be here Sunday morning, to be here Sunday evening, to be here Wednesday. Is everybody in your family going to do that? No. But I have decided to follow Jesus.
follow. And that's what we need today. And don't depart because of the prideful crowd. Don't depart because of the cowardly crowd. And don't depart because of the carnal Christian crowd that, they may appear so spiritual, and, they may pontificate how much better they are than the church and the preacher, but the fact of the matter is they're not doing the job.
It's your mic, preacher.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. All right. I'll put it on the outside. All right. There we go. Amen. And so God says, this is what I'm looking for. I don't know about you, but I want to be there when God is looking for somebody. I want to be there. I want to stand in the gap. There's a plea for it tonight. And we need to pray for God to save America. I am pleading for God to save America, and this is how it's going to be done. And secondly, not only do we need to plea for God to save America, but we need to see God has a provision. And the provision are men of God who will plant churches for God. And that's what needs to go on.
Yep.
And that's what we need to do right here in Scranton and beyond. And lastly, we need to have the partnering with the Gideon's Band and qualify by getting away from pride, getting away from carnality, and getting away from cowardly Christianity and standing for the truth. And let the chips fall where they may, and God will bless. Oh, this is the time. I'm excited to be alive during this time. I'm excited to be here during this time. I'm excited. And you can really make a difference, I believe, if you follow what is preached. All right, let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. And we've been talking about